And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WJR Radio, Nick Roddy, WJR Radio, and Mike O'Hara, Lions aficionado, after a beatdown of epic proportions yesterday by the Detroit Lions against the woeful Jacksonville Jaguars. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, guys.
Hello, Nicholas. Hello. Well, Nicholas, I don't know if it was leave-raking time for you or whatever, or you at the game or whatever, but this game ended probably as quick as it started.
Yeah, I mean, I was done. I think I was done by halftime. I don't think I watched. I was in and out kind of in the second half. It was just, it got kind of boring. I'm not sure I like this kind of new look Lions where we're really not competitive with certain teams.
And Michael Hare, who was at the game yesterday, what was the mood in the game as it's going on?
Well, first of all, I think when the Jacksonville drove for a field goal on the first possession of the game, I thought, oh no, come on, this is going to be a game, but it wasn't. That was their fleeting moment of glory there for that game yesterday. It was one sided, just like it was a year ago when the Lions beat them 40-10. I think it was last year when they beat them 40-10. They got their number, one of the best teams in football, and they absolutely showed it again.
Well, I wasn't worried about the field goal when you were kicking it from the logo in the middle of the field. That's when I knew that if your best offense is a 59-yard field goal, it's going to be a long day for you. So when I saw him on that NFL sticker and I saw him setting up for the kick, I'm like, even if he makes this, it's a loss of a drive. Because, I mean, geez, you might as well just had him kick from the 20. You know, you just weren't going to get in the offense. And can we now say that rushing young quarterbacks into the game does nothing for them later on? And I'm talking about Mac Jones, who to me looks worse than he did when he was a rookie playing with the Patriots. I mean, he's awful. Can we say that? He's awful.
About? He was a Pro Bowler.
He's awful. That guy from Baltimore was a Pro Bowler too. What was his name? Huntley or whatever, the guy who was the third string Baltimore quarterback. He was a Pro Bowler too. That means nothing.
Well, yeah, that was different though. He was the only guy home that day when they were looking for another quarterback.
he looks awful. And like I said, you got to grow into being a quarterback, and that's one thing where we'll get into this another time that the league is lacking on. They're disposing these young quarterbacks too early because of the money they get paid, the draft position they get, and they're forced on the field and they don't develop. And unless you're special, look, even CJ Stroud, who had a great last year, I don't think he played that great this year. I mean, he's playing more like a second year guy, and it just happens that way. It's very rare that
you want to bench him.
No, but I'm just saying it's very rare that rookies come in and just hit the ground running and don't, you know, go back their whole career. Yeah. And I just think that. I'm going to tell you right now, I was going to save this for later. And, Roddy, you can't talk about this because evidently you left the TV or whatever after halftime. Hendon Hooker looks 10 times better than he looked in training camp in the drives he had yesterday. Just natural throwing the ball, looking around. He looks like a backup now. I was worried about that early in the season. I said it would take about 8 games, then I wouldn't be worried anymore. He can come in and run that offense if you need him for a series or a game.
So you are saying now that there is some value to bring in a young quarterback in to develop his game.
Develop him slowly. That's right. If you would have had to play him, Mike, this year, if I start him, he may have never recovered.
Well, they would have played a different defensive style, too, if that was the case, too. So it's really hard to make.
No, I'm just saying as a young quarterback that's not ready to play and you force him in there, you can get some habits that you may never break. And I like the way you bring young quarterbacks along slow. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen these quarterbacks coming out in the draft, Shedeur Sanders and this Cam Ward and all these other guys. I would take Hendon Hooker right now next year over any of those guys.
And okay. All right. This is the first drive. This is the first drive.
No, I'm just talking about. Wait a minute. I'm talking about I've seen.
Let me just go through it. They started at the 41-yard line. They ran for 19 yards with Craig Reynolds. He scrambled for 2 yards, another run, an incomplete pass.
Not an incomplete pass. It was a pass. See, this is what you get by not watching what happened. The ball hit Allen Robinson right in the damn hands, and he dropped it.
All right.
Okay.
So, that happens to Jared Goff, too.
No, I'm just saying, don't try to say it was an incomplete pass. What happened? Number two, all I'm saying is I'm talking about his whole body of work, and I'm talking about his work in college, too. These guys coming out this year, Hendon Hooker's work was better in college than these guys. The only reason Hendon Hooker went in the third round is because he was, hurt. His work was better than the work of these guys in college this year. So what I'm saying is with 2 years of sitting behind a guy and training, he'll be a better prospect next year than those two guys. You mark my words. And I can't prove it now, but just remember I said it here first.
I don't think you'll prove it next year either.
I put it like this.
He'll be 27 years old.
I don't care. Player quarterbacks are playing to 40. He'll be starting for an NFL team within 2 years.
Why are we talking about
this? I don't know. I just got it in here. Let's talk about the game. Because the game was meaningless. That's why. The game was meaningless when you got seven straight drives and scored touchdowns. It was like a scrimmage out there. So I don't even know if I can say anything good about Jacksonville. I think the Jacksonville team a couple years ago that came with Trevor Lawrence, that they beat down 30-40-10 or whatever, that team was better than this team. This team, I couldn't name you five players. I saw Jeremiah Ledbetter out there. Mike, you remember him with the Lions? I didn't even know he was still in the league.
No, I don't remember.
He played for – who was it, Roddy? Was he playing for Campbell? No, I tell you who he was playing for. He was playing for Caldwell. Remember? We used to interview him. I remember. I was like, is that the same guy? He's 9 years in the league, still out there starting for a team, and we discarded this guy 9 years ago. It's just they're just terrible. Just terrible. They got one good player, Michael Thomas, and he got blown up, and I don't think he wants to play anymore.
Brian Thomas.
He got blown up. They don't want to play anymore. Anyway, just get your thoughts on the game.
We talked to Lomas Brown this morning, and I asked him if he'd ever been a part of a game like this, and he recalled back to, I think it was 95, where he had a similar game against Jacksonville, and so I looked it up. Lomas Brown's largest margin of victory was as a Detroit Lion against Jacksonville, and they won 44-0. So
Lomas was on that team.
Parallels here.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was at that game. Lomas was on that team.
Yeah, it was like week 15 or 16 or 17.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you something about that game. Desmond Howard was on Jacksonville that game. I remember that well because Desmond Howard was doing the punt and kick returns that game, and I remember everybody was cheering for him. He was the only thing they cheered for in Jacksonville. I remember they were that must have been their first year in the league. If my memory serves correctly, they were an expansion team. I think that was their first year.
Yeah, it was their first year in the league, and they beat them 45-0. And they pulled their starting quarterback in the fourth quarter, and the replacement, all they did was hand off.
Yeah, that was a poor. Put it like this, Jacksonville, not good. So let's move up. Anything? I'll tell you, the big controversy today, Roddy and Mike, should Campbell have pulled the starters earlier? And I can go either way on it. I thought he was a series late to me. I would have pulled him before that last touchdown when it was like 39 or whatever it was, 35, yeah, but before he got 42. I would have pulled him at 42. He kept him in. Do you have a problem with him keeping the starters in?
No, I don't. Not at all. Not at all.
Roddy?
No, I don't either. I mean, it was still the third quarter. I think their final touchdown drive, Jared Goff's final touchdown drive began at the end of it was still in the third quarter.
So right, and he scored, I think, the fourth quarter is when they finally, so beginning of the fourth quarter when they finally, right. But I would have took him out before that drive. I would have took him out. That's the only thing I had a problem with. And I really don't have a problem with it at all, but nobody gets hurt, I'm fine with it. And the only person I would have took out was the quarterback. After that, you got to play guys. But I would have got the quarterback out just because.
You don't have many reserves on these.
That's what I'm saying. I would have got the quarterback out, though. That's the only one who I would have took out. And he was perfect at the time, too. So I didn't need, I didn't need him to. I would have took him out with the perfect game. Even though he finished with the perfect game anyway, I would have took him out then. But that's it. And if you want to complain about it, go complain somebody else.
Is the MVP talk back on?
Not yet. And I'm about to tell you, gentlemen, why. Before you go ahead, Mike, so I can get it out.
Watching one of the shows this morning, there was some talk about him for the MVP. If we're talking about Jared Goff.
Yeah. Now, which show was that, Mike? We name names on this damn in this podcast. Whose show?
That's that morning show on ESPN.
You talking about with Mike and Mike or Mike one Mike? With
yeah,
Mike Greenberg, right. Okay. We do not accept those coupons here at this store. Okay, sorry. Anything said on that show means nothing. Absolutely nothing. All right.
Doesn't matter who says it.
Doesn't matter who said Rex Ryan. Who else is always on there? The guy from New England. Which one
Orlowski.
Of New England? Yeah, especially Orlowski. Hey, means nothing.
Okay.
Means nothing. All they do is yak for 3 hours. Means nothing. Jared Goff will not win the MVP. And this is a funny thing, too. What does MVP conversation mean? I mean, I could talk about Matt Jones. He's in the conversation for MVP. No. Okay, we had a conversation about it. We said no. So he's in the conversation? No. So what does that mean? Jared Goff will not win MVP, but he's having a top 5 year, because he's not going to win it. Because everybody's enamored with Lamar Jackson.
But if Lamar and the Ravens lose 6 games, it ain't going to matter. If the Lions,
I'm just telling you who they're in their thrall with these guys. You get the same. And now flavor of the month is Buffalo's quarterback now. Flavor of the month is now Allen, Josh Allen. That's the flavor. The next month, that's all you're going to hear about. Oh, my God. Oh, they're ready to take on Mahomes. Oh, my God. Oh, they're going to get him this year. Month later, they'll be talking about Mahomes again. It's like a little circle of people they talk about, and that's it. And nobody else. I'm going to tell you right now. You know who should be MVP? You know who should be MVP?
Joe Burrow.
Nope. You ready? Are you ready, Michael?
I can't wait anymore.
Panay Sewell.
Oh, good grief.
See, that's what I'm saying. People like you who will not take
– People like me.
People like you who – that offensive lineman right there is the best player in the league right now. And I don't care what you say. I don't care how it works. I know offensive lineman will never win MVP.
Correct.
But he is the MVP of this damn league right now. And that's all I'm going to say about it. We can move on because I know I can't get any backup because offensive linemen don't have stats that you can push out in front of on TV. But I'm going to tell you right now, you watch him play a full game and you won't come back saying, damn, he's one of the best players in this league.
You think you're the only person who's ever seen him play?
Yeah, because people don't watch linemen. Yes, I am the first person to see. Yes, because most people don't watch the offensive line. The only time an offensive lineman gets noticed is when they get beat. But I'm telling you right now, watch the touchdown yesterday with Montgomery.
You've been watching Jared Goff if you're watching the offensive line.
Watch the touchdown with Jared Goff, with Montgomery yesterday, the second one. Well, who pushed him in the end zone after knocking this guy off the ball, came back and pushed him. That guy's I haven't seen anything like him in offensive line in a while. I mean, a long while. And you know who I'm going back to, Mike? One of your favorite players.
Go ahead.
Munoz. For you youngsters out there, look it up in the dictionary. Cincinnati, Munoz.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
He was one of the best.
He was one of the best. I remember my friend Mega Man, Ike Gooden. My friend Ike Gooden, Mega Man, he played for Michigan State. He said he played USC in the Rose Bowl. He said Munoz came out, put his hand in the ground, and it was like sticking a fork in the ground. You just see the fingers go into the dirt. He said he knew it was over. He said he knew it was over. That was a player. But anyway, think about that. Why has a quarterback always got to be the MVP?
Well, it's the most important position on the field. I think that's where it starts, and you see them. You see more of them. You have more exposure to them than you do any other player.
That don't make them necessarily have to be the MVP. Why don't they just make a quarterback award and just give it to the quarterback and then have another award for every other position?
They also have the All-Pro awards just like every other position.
No, I'm talking about for the official award. Why don't they just give the quarterbacks their separate thing and then give the best player in the league for the year, non-quarterback, the MVP, because of course a quarterback's going to win if you got statistics, but there's more great players out there, man. Anyway, look, you done got me all off today. This podcast is all over the place.
We didn't do anything.
It's all over the place because of me. Because of, you know why? Because we have nothing to talk about the game yesterday because it was such a blowout. But there is one thing that came out of the game, gentlemen. Our guy, 4:30 today, Monday, Mitch Albom show, Alex Anzalone, I think he'll be on, gets injured. A big injury. A serious big injury.
Broken arm. Yeah.
Broken forearm. I guess Campbell said 4 to 8 weeks he'll be out. Luckily, 4 to 8 weeks. I'm glad that because, you know, if you have to get surgery or whatever, it could be longer than that. But he'll be out until playoff time. But I'm confident. I haven't talked to him yet. I'll be talking to him in a couple of hours that he'll be back by playoff time. Roddy and Mike, big loss, little loss, medium loss. What do you call it?
I think it's medium plus loss because if you saw the game yesterday, I think he made the first 5 tackles. He was everywhere. And he's a really good player, but there's one thing he has behind him is a good, solid backup in Jack Campbell from Iowa. Second year, he just took over that position with Alex Anzalone when he was out. So it's a loss. It's an absolute loss, but it's not catastrophic.
Yeah, I'm with Mike. I think it's a medium loss. I mean, he's definitely one of the top 2 linebackers without a doubt with Jack Campbell. But I think those kind of backup reserve guys have been playing well. Nowaski and Neiman and Rodrigo, they've been really filling in nicely when they're in sub packages or just they coming in to spell somebody. I think they've been playing well. Now you gotta have them out there for. I mean now. 80% plus of the plays on defense.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because this is where truth meets fiction. Nowaski played 9 plays yesterday. Neiman played 6. And this is even after he went out early in the game. So
they make plays.
These guys are not playing, man. I think this is a big loss. And I'm not worried about Jack Campbell, because to me, Jack Campbell was already what he is now. And I'm telling you right now, ascending player. Matter of fact, he should be the green dot from this point on. It should be his defense now. That's how good he is.
He's replacing Alex Anzalone.
Well, I don't think he's replacing him. To me, wasn't Jack Campbell more playing the middle? Even though Anzalone had the green dot, it seemed like the last 4, 5, 6 games, it was really Jack Campbell in the middle anyway. But it doesn't matter because this is his defense now, and he's getting nothing but better game. He got the game ball yesterday. Doesn't miss tackles, real strong. He's just going to get better and better. And I think that even when Anzalone comes back, he should be a sidekick to Anzalone. Anzalone should pass it off to Jack Campbell now because Anzalone can freelance on the other side. Let Campbell make the calls, do the middle, because this is the future. This is where we're going.
Well, so. I'm not arguing with what you said, though. I want to talk about the future next year, not now. I want to talk about this year now. This is what the Lions' chance is this year. It's not next year.
Yeah, but you're going to play what? How many games are there? It's 10. They got 7 games left. You're playing 7 games with Jack Campbell at the middle. When he comes back, you want to change stuff up? Or this is where you go from this point?
Well, we'll see how soon he gets back. And
well, he won't be back before the season's over.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Well, I'm just telling you, before the 8 weeks –
Well, 4 to 8 weeks.
If it's 4 weeks, he will be back.
You really think a broken arm, you're going to be back in 4 weeks?
Well, you just said it.
I said they said 4 to 8. They always give you the little short term. If he gets back before the end of the season, before the playoff start, I think they'll be lucky. Because I've seen some that had 3 months being out.
Why do we have to make that decision right now? Why can't we make that decision then?
We'll make it then, but look, you got to prepare. Do they go out and get another linebacker? Do you think they can make it with what they have?
Where?
Practice squads, the other guys out. You know, it's a funny thing. We talked about this a few months ago, or at least a month ago, when Devin White was out there and nobody wanted to pick him up. Oh, no, he's not the big linebacker they need. He's more of a chase linebacker. That's what they need now with Anzalone out. He would have been perfect replacement for him, but they didn't pick him up. So this guy's already around Shaq Lawson, all these guys. I think some guys out there. Is it worth picking a guy up, or you just go with what you got?
Well, maybe they can somehow be lucky enough for the Jacksonville Jaguars to cut Anthony Pittman from Wayne State University and give him a second trial here with the Detroit Lions. He played pretty well.
You can pick up Antoine Williams again.
Hold on. I got to stop this. What do you mean he played pretty well? He was on special teams, but he did nothing.
That's not true.
I'm looking at the thing here. What'd he do?
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what?
I know he went to Wayne State, but we just not inflating Wayne Staters today.
I'm sorry.
We're not inflating the Wayne Staters.
I'm sorry. I didn't go to high school with this brother, okay?
Oh, are you doing some DPJ jokes on me now?
Yes, I am.
Now, Pittman
before
is...
Pittman is
one of those elevations, Mike, so he'll be back on the practice squad. If he goes back, you can pull him off. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
No, he's a big... I'll tell you what, he's a... I didn't realize until I finally saw how big he is. I mean, that is a... 250, maybe 260 linebacker.
Yeah, he's they need to pick a guy. But, fellows, I'm telling you right now, you know who's going to be replacing Alexander Zalone?
Go ahead.
Melifano.
Well,
they're going to do a bunch of three safety stuff now. They're going to put Melifano down in the box.
They only play two linebackers anyways. So, I mean.
Rodrigo plays a lot. He plays a lot and played a lot.
He's got a good feel for the ball, too.
Yeah, he's pretty good. But Melifano, they'll start blitzing more. And Melifano played a lot of box last year. This is another guy who's a very good player that can't stay healthy. And I don't know where we're going to go when he comes back. He got injured in the 3 weeks to train up to get put back on the roster. He hurt a hand or something. So he played
all 17 last year, and I think it's the only time he did.
Yeah, but remember, it was touch and go a couple of weeks. You remember he played, but he was hurt, and he really didn't play at the beginning. Remember until CJ went down, and then that's when he got his opportunity. Thank God CJ Johnson is gone, man. Boy, it's so nice and serene right here now with him running his damn mouth. It is, man. I'm sorry, man. Jesus.
Yeah.
And I saw some Philly stuff, though. They running his mouth over there, man.
Of course.
Jesus, just play. Now, Lions are 9-1. Let me take you back in the Wayback Machine last year. Do you remember the Eagles were 10-1 last year? Finished 1-5?
Yeah.
And then lost the first game of the playoffs? So let's not start counting chickens, Mike. I know you got your counter out over there. Let's not start counting chickens now before the hatch. Got to keep your shoulder to the grindstone here.
Why are the Eagles coming to Detroit or something?
No, I'm just saying, even though you're 10-1 or 9-1, it can fall apart in a minute, so you got to be careful. This is no free lunch.
I would take nothing for granted. Absolutely, I agree with that. But I have no concern about the Lions and their attitude and their approach to games.
No, not that, but just luck and stuff. But I think this team right now can get even better. I think that the offense yesterday played, and I'm not even going to count the scrimmage, so I don't know if it was the offense or the just terrible Jaguars, but defensively, I still think there's room to get better because they didn't really have a big pass rush yesterday, again. Our guy, James Houston, went back into witness protection. They came out and testified, and then he went back. So we haven't seen him, and hopefully we can find him again. You know, we have to stain his pants to get him to play. That might be the starting thing he needs. And we just got to get that going. But, Roddy, the defense to me – let me put it this way to you fellas. By the end of this season, the way things are going, will they be known more as an offensive team or a defensive team?
Offense by far.
Yeah. Offense, yeah.
It may be offense, but it's not by far. They're not scoring on these guys. They're up in the league of not getting scored on. The defense is getting better by the week, and – the offenses look, you know, sales tickets or whatever, but this defense, take a step back and look at it, man.
You play defense differently when your offense goes out there and scores 7 straight touchdowns. I mean, it really changes the other team's offensive game plan.
What about last week then, Roddy?
It's a byproduct of each other.
What about last week then, Roddy?
Well,
when they're down, 23-7.
Well, last year the offense took over in the second half. The They couldn't do anything against
You can pick out week by week.
I'm just saying, nobody's talking about the defensive. Go look at the defensive statistics.
When they were down 21-0, I mean.
Did the defense put them in that hole?
They didn't stop them.
You got short field because of the turnovers by the offense.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Look,
you can have it both ways. You can play.
I understand that, and I'm not
game against Tennessee because they have short field.
I'm not disparaging the offense.
Can't stop them when they have short field.
I'm not disparaging the offense. I'm just giving kudos to the defense that the defense is being overlooked. This is a damn good defense.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. I'm not disparaging you. I won't. Well, God forbid, I won't tread on the offense and Ben Johnson, the king of coordinators. I will not tread on. But I'm just saying, start giving a little love to the defense too, man.
This game was not the Pittsburgh Baltimore game yesterday. They scored 52 points. Okay.
I'm not arguing with that. I'm just saying, look at the defense. Like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a defensive team.
Yeah,
and they showed
no argument with there.
The Lions' defense is better than Pittsburgh's defense.
They didn't score a touchdown and they won.
The Lions' defense is better than Pittsburgh's defense.
I don't know anybody who would agree with that, but
you know somebody. His name is Ken Brown. You know somebody. I just said it.
Don't tell anybody.
Anyway, we'll do that. Any concern with the lack of pass rush, though, fellas? Newest Darius Smith got a half a sack.
Yeah, until I see it work, then I'm going to be worried about it. Absolutely.
I saw a picture yesterday.
Hold it. They're not going to be playing the likes of Jacksonville week after week after week. They're going to be playing real teams with real quarterbacks, real receivers, and all of that. Yeah, yes, I'm worried about that.
Okay. I agree that that's something to be looked at. I do agree. I saw a picture yesterday of Aiden Hutchinson walking in the water doing his training. Did you see that, Roddy?
Yeah, I sure did. I saw him walking in the Ford Field, too.
Interesting, Mike. He's progressing nicely. Maybe if you do get to that Super Bowl, he may be back. I was poo-pooing it a couple of weeks ago, but maybe.
Well, look, it's like a lot of things like this. They'll happen when they happen, but just be ready for them to happen.
Thank you, Aesop O'Hara, for that splendid that splendid quote. I will tattoo that on my forehead.
That's just the way it is. It'll happen when it happens. And look, be thankful if it does.
All right. Well, like I said, with nothing else to talk about Jack. Anybody, any last thoughts on Jacksonville or anything, or can we move on?
No, I can't believe we've gone this long.
I believe it. Let's talk about this week. Indianapolis Colts. Richardson is back in at quarterback, and he's still running recklessly and slamming. And I saw yesterday, he's not going to make a season if he plays like that. He's got a good arm. He's not real accurate. This game, to me, it could be a trap game, but I just think the Lions are going to go down and win again. I just feel that right now they're in a groove.
I think they're 5 or 6 point favorites already. And
yeah, 7 points I saw today.
Was it 7? Okay.
I saw 7 today, but, you know, even if they're 5, that's on the road.
Yep.
The Lions are not going 16-1. Can we all agree to that?
No.
Oh, we can't?
No.
Why not?
You think they can run the table?
I think they can. Yeah, I think they can.
Okay. You're the one who thought they could win the first 11.
I just, by the theory of numbers, I'm just saying I don't believe a team can go 16-1. I just don't see it. But you know what? I've been wrong before. So I see about one or two more losses in there in these last games. One of them, I'm not going to say the game. I am more interested now in that Buffalo Bills game than even before the season started. To me, that's the best game they got the rest of the season.
Oh, I'd agree with that, yeah.
At Ford Field. That game, I'm thinking it's in December, too, so December 15th. That game I'm interested in. But now you got Indianapolis, then you got Green Bay and Chicago. Not in that order, but Chicago then Green Bay. All three winnable games. So if you get to, 12-1, then you're doing something.
Then you're doing something. Okay.
Then you're doing something. Something's never been, even the stuff you're doing now has never been done before, but you really are doing something. So, all right, gentlemen, well, that's going to be it there. We'll get back Friday for the predictions. I believe I did predict the Hendon Hooker game last week, so I was the winner again. Thank you very much, people. I call them as I see them.
What did you predict in a Hendon Hooker game?
I said it would be a Hendon Hooker game. I said there'd be a blowout in a Hendon Hooker game, and I was right. The score I did not have, I think I had 30. I think I had them scoring 17. I think I had 37-17 or something like that. But regardless of that, I call Hendon Hooker games when I see them, and there will be two more Hendon Hooker games in these last seven games.
Wow. Can't wait.
I know you can't. Anyway, that's going to be the K&M Podcast. For all of those who only believe what I say, you are the right ones. Those that believe Mike and Nick Roddy, I can only question your judgment. But we will continue to use them because I need fodder. And they give it to me every week.
My fodder.
I need fodder. Anyway, check out Roddy, who's the morning show producer on WJR. Mike O'Hara, who's always around giving Lions information. And Ken Brown, don't forget Alexander Zalone this Monday, 4:30 and 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. Check him out. We'll talk about his injury and talk about what he's going to be doing the next few weeks in his rehab. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, Kenny. See you next week.